Bob Dole orders shakeup of his faltering presidential campaign. U.S. considers sanctions on Cuba over weekend shootdown. Arab American drives car into Jerusalem bus stop, killing two. Good Monday morning, Bill Lynch with the CBS World News Roundup. After months of carrying the GOP front-runner mantle, Bob Dole has yet to win a primary. And as Sandra Hughes reports, he's now shaking up his high command.
In an effort to revive his struggling presidential bid, CBS News has learned Senator Bob Dole has ordered a dramatic campaign shakeup, firing his lead pollster and replacing his top strategist.
You've shaken up your staff. What can you tell us?
I don't know anything about it.
The move follows weeks of turmoil within the Dole camp over strategy and advertising. But publicly, Senator Bob Dole remains upbeat, even though here in Arizona, he's not making any bold predictions.
It's going to be a big day in Arizona on Tuesday, and it could be a very close race.
Hard on his heels, commentator Pat Buchanan has been courting conservatives, working to make Tuesday's Arizona primary the site of his next big win and possibly the last stop for Dole's campaign.
If he loses Arizona, I think the Dole campaign goes on life support.
A clearly confident Buchanan was chastising the Republican establishment for throwing a, quote, hissy fit due to his early successes.
Take a couple of Prozacs, fellas. Calm down.
A freshly energized Steve Forbes also rolled into town. He's hoping to ride the momentum of his weekend victory in Delaware.
I did well in Delaware against expectations, and I'm going to do the same thing here.
This race is shaping up to be a tight one, with Buchanan, Forbes, and Dole locked in a virtual dead heat here. Whoever wins Arizona emerges as the candidate with the most delegates and the momentum heading into the South. Sandra Hughes, CBS News, Phoenix.
There are unconfirmed reports this morning that Cuba is holding a Brothers to the Rescue pilot, but it's not clear if he was aboard one of the two civilian planes shot down Saturday by Cuban MiGs. Havana this morning accused the U.S. of lying and said it has unequivocal proof the two planes were inside Cuban airspace. The U.N. Security Council today considers an American request to condemn the Cuban shootdown and order an international investigation. Last night, after council members got a closed-door CIA briefing, U.S. Ambassador Madeleine Albright was encouraged.
I was very heartened by the response from most of the members of the council that this kind of action was, in fact, an outrageous violation of international law.
As White House correspondent Bill Plant reports, the Clinton administration is still considering its options for dealing with Cuba.
The National Security Council is supposed to draw up a list of possible sanctions for the president to impose on Cuba. They include things like cutting off long-distance phone service, cutting off money transfers, stopping the new air service to Cuba. All of these are somewhat lame because they hurt U.S. policy toward Cuba, which is to undermine the Castro regime, more than they actually hurt Castro by cutting off whatever hard currency they bring in. But there is no thought of military action, and there's very little else that the U.S. can do because it doesn't wish to cause instability on the island.
There was more carnage on the streets of Jerusalem today, but as Robert Berger reports, the latest deaths appear unrelated to yesterday's suicide bombings that killed 27, including two Americans.
Police here at the scene are now saying that the incident was apparently an accident and not a terrorist attack. Police say there are long tread marks that indicate the driver tried to stop before he rammed into a crowd of civilians. Bystanders who witnessed the incident thought it was an attack and opened fire, killing the driver. The driver has been identified as a U.S. resident from the West Bank. Robert Berger for CBS News, Jerusalem.
Today, as yesterday's bomb victims were buried, Israelis were in collective mourning.
We grieve for our own. We grieve for everybody else's. We grieve for the country. It's very sad, but we cannot run away. We cannot leave.
Jesse Shulman has more.
The funerals have begun. A long day of grief lies ahead as Israel mourns the victims of one of the worst days of terror attacks ever. Most Israelis back efforts to negotiate peace, but polls today show that majority cut by yesterday's attacks, with Prime Minister Shimon Peres facing elections in May. Security has been tightened, but no shield is perfect. Israeli school children began today with a minute of silence in memory of the victims of yesterday's attacks, a mourning tinged with apprehension about victims of the next. Jesse Shulman, CBS News, Tel Aviv.
Under pressure from the U.S. and Israel, Palestinian police have rounded up more than 60 Hamas suspects for questioning about the bombings. In Los Angeles last night, actor Haing Noor was murdered outside his home. Police say he had just gotten out of his car. Noor won a 1984 Oscar for playing a Cambodian journalist in The Killing Fields.
He said, if the war keeps going like this, the future could be very bad.
What do you think?
I don't know.
Hang Nora was 45. There was bad news last night from astronaut Jeff Hoffman aboard Shuttle Columbia.
The tether has broken. It is going away from us. The tether has broken.
Copy.
A 12-mile tether and a satellite at the other end went drifting off into space, the second major failure in a $443 million U.S.-Italian experiment that spent years trying to generate electricity in space. CBS News space consultant Bill Harwood.
NASA's formed an investigation board to look into this incident, but in the meantime, of course, the satellite's lost. They won't make any attempt to recover it. There's more than 12 miles of cable hanging off that satellite, and nobody likes the idea of trying to rendezvous with a spacecraft that would be as unpredictable as that.
NASA's shuttle program manager Tommy Holloway said the failure is just part of the price of experimentation.
We're disappointed, but when these times happen, we all pick ourselves up out of the dust and go forward, and we'll work harder to make sure that these things happen less often in the future.
4 years ago, the tether jammed when the satellite was only 840 feet out. Lawyers for CompuServe, America Online, and Prodigy go into court today to challenge the new Communications Decency Act. They argue that the Internet is more like a newspaper than television and thus deserves the same First Amendment protection. A judge in Philadelphia has, for now, barred enforcement of the law. Louis Farrakhan has come home in a defiant mood from his tour of U.S. enemy states like Iraq, Iran, and Libya. Correspondent Frank Currier reports from Chicago.
Nation of Islam leader Louis Farrakhan angrily challenged critics of his controversial 18-nation tour that saw stops in Iran and Iraq.
It's time for the showdown anyway!
More than 10,000 fellow Muslims cheered his anti-American rhetoric.
Your government is rotten to the core!
In defending what he called his friendship tour to enemy nations, Farrakhan confirmed that Libyan leader Muammar Gaddafi has pledged $1 billion to his Nation of Islam.
What's wrong with Brother Gaddafi giving some money?
Not to buy guns, but to build homes, build factories, build schools, set up international trade.
He has yet to be subpoenaed, but congressional hearings are tentatively set for March 19th into Farrakhan's controversial travels. Frank Currier, CBS News, Chicago.
In London today, there are fears the IRA is targeting Queen Elizabeth. Soldiers in camouflage gear have replaced red-coated guards at Buckingham Palace. Prosecutors are looking to a Michigan appeals court today to spell out jury instructions in the assisted suicide trial of Dr. Jack Kevorkian. The judge is under orders to give a more liberal reading to the law under which Kevorkian is charged. On Wall Street, the Dow Industrial Average is down 21.31.